You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 15, Episode 3, titled The Queer After. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by two heavenly co-hosts. First, from the podcast Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo, please say...
You were underwhelming. You weren't as good as everybody else.
To Nathan Patrick Brown. Hello, Nathan.
Hi, Joe.
Have you been?
Underwhelming, apparently. But no, I've been.
Yeah. There. Yeah. You know, I did take a peek at the Discord's live viewing of the show, and they had some really good suggestions for clip zero. But since I always like it to keep be a surprise, I was like, well, now I can't use those clips. They were good, though.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of, from Bloody Podcast. From Bloody Podcast, please say...
That bitch honestly would in somebody's station.
To Lori Rock and Cal- Nathan, especially after that Just Between Us Girls, do you disagree with that statement that Lori would shit in somebody's station?
You won't hear any disagreements from me.
Yeah. Lori, how are you?
Good, I just shit in someone's station. I feel clear.
Yeah, you feel really, really clear. What Lori was talking about, what I was talking about, is, you know, we do a show called Just Between Us Girls, and you can only find, actually you can find it in two places. You can find that on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia at the executive tier level and above. Or you could just pay like $5 or $6 on iTunes. And you get Just Between Us Girls at the exact same time that everybody else gets it. So there's that. So we've covered the Patreon. We've covered the iTunes private feed. You don't got to deal with Patreon. Got to scroll up and use your Apple Pay or whatever you do to pay for it. And the other thing too is we tested it out last week. It went really well. Now we're opening it to the public. There's been a little secret that I've never talked about on this show. Nathan might know what I'm talking about. Maybe not. But, for years, we had this service we used called Mixlr, mixlr.com/afterthoughtmedia. And I never really talked about it because it was open to the public, but it was really a benefit for Patreon supporters, but the public could listen. So I recently gone back to Mixlr. We didn't do it for a while, and now we're back, and we're doing Bring It to the Runway with Christian and Robert and myself live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, live on mixlr.com/afterthoughtmedia. It costs nothing to listen live. You can chat with everybody else. You can interact with me and Robert and Christian and listen live. Very simple. They have a really good app that you can put on your phone and listen live. And you can interact live on your app, on your phone, on your app, on anywhere. Just mixer.com. And then the station, if you use the app, is Afterthought Media. So every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Now, by the way, if you just get it and subscribe to our channel, you will get alerts, email alerts about when we're live. Because I've been toying with also going live just for a little bit after I watched the show. I didn't do it this Friday because, like, there's not really much to say. Once again, mixer.com/afterthoughtmedia. All right, let's jump right into it. This week, the queens promote their own versions of Drag Queen Heaven. And on the runway, the category is Metallica. Sasha Colby's named a winner of the challenge, while Princess Poppy and Amethyst square off in a lip sync battle for their lives. Amethyst was told, Shantae, you stay, while Princess Poppy was asked to sashay away. Ladies, name two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not. Let's start with our special guest. You know, I forgot to mention this last week. We have a rotating set of guest co-hosts. You know, we had Robert the first day, Jay Ellis the second time. So for episode 3, we have Lori Roggenkamp. Hello, Lori. What are the two things you liked about the episode, the one thing you did not?
Hello. I will say that I like the looks. I thought the looks were fun for the most part. I also liked the show, I guess.
You liked the show, okay.
And what I didn't like was the challenge. I thought the challenge was super boring and almost all of the videos made zero sense.
Okay. Nathan?
I liked T.S. Madison on the judging panel. I thought it was nice to have a break from the standard Carson-Ross rotation. And I'm just happy to see her there. I think she'll be good to have as like a regular like guest co-host, just like Lori. And the other thing I liked was the runtime. Now, I know that's controversial, like, because I've seen people on Twitter just blowing up saying it was so rushed, but I thought it was great to not to have to watch, like, everything in rehearsal for the challenge and then watch it again when they show us the acting
100%,
videos. Like, I loved it. Loved that. Mm-hmm. The one thing I didn't, it's sort of nitpicky, but I did not like Selena's runway look, and the fact that I was batting so hard for Selena is why I'm so disappointed, because she's not really brought any looks that have been any good. So I'm a bit disappointed in her. And I'm, starting to suspect maybe I have overdone it with my love for her from the Meet the Queens.
I think the most shocking, one of the most shocking things I heard this week was that Selena Estides, not Mexican.
Oh.
What?
Mexican. Yeah.
Wait, what is she?
She's Honduran.
Oh, okay.
But she's working a Mexican aesthetic. But yeah, not Mexican.
Oh.
That's wild. That's
and
like,
not
yeah,
from
that's
Los
wild.
Angeles, from San Francisco.
What?
Yeah. So many things that are wrong with that.
Yeah. I know.
Selena S. Catfishies.
Yeah. So, okay, here's the things I liked about the episode. Yeah, I found it, I struggled with this one. I liked a lot of the looks. You know, not all of them, but a lot of the looks I did like, you know. I agree with you, Nathan. I think it's a perfect length. I think nothing was lost. I was talking to someone earlier today, and they thought it was too short. And let me give you my argument why I don't think it was. And then the thing I didn't like was, I don't feel this was an acting challenge. Maybe this is a good thing, but I don't feel like really anyone showed that they were good at the acting challenges on this one. I think everybody seemed mediocre at the acting challenges. I sure hope there aren't a lot of acting challenges this season.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's tackle the length right now, because it has nothing to do with any plot line of the show. A lot of people are very angry about the length. And what I would say is, I promise you, whoever's listening, you did not miss anything really good. I'm telling you, you probably saw really the best stuff on the show. The one thing I would say is, okay, maybe the runway was a little short. It probably could have been, it could have benefited from being 2 or 3 minutes longer, but that's more of a MTV thing about how much commercial time they want. I wouldn't extend it another half an hour.
And we have 15 queens, so like that problem will get better as the season goes on.
That problem will get better as the season goes on. That problem will get better. Everyone wonders how they're going to handle 2 Snatch Games next week. We'll find out. But the one thing I will say, I know they're not doing it next week, is I don't know why there can't be a medium for like seasons like 7, 8, 9 or something like that, or whatever, whenever, until they went to the full hour and a half show, they would do a mix. So they would do mostly 1 hour episodes with a few special supersized episodes thrown in. I don't know why they can't do that again. Well, I know they can't because of this stupid, Gays, the Real Friends of West Hollywood. I just feel it's been a mix. Nathan, what have you been your thoughts on the hour-long episode?
I thought this episode was perfectly timed, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't feel it was rushed. There were a few moments where they were sort of writing the scripts where, like, in defense of Sugar, she was coming off as super annoying, but you could sort of tell that they were just cutting everything she said and squeezing it together to cut out the other people's interactions. So I think they were intentionally making her look more annoying than it was. I thought she had some good points, actually. So I think in that respect, like, if that had more room to breathe, maybe it would have come across better. But then that, we blew through the runway. I was fine with that because there's 14 people. But then we have that mirror moment that went for 23 minutes. So that's where it didn't feel balanced for me.
Lori, what about you? What are your thoughts? How do you like the length of the episode, Lori?
To be honest with you, I loved this episode because I felt like it was shorter, but I still felt like there was stuff that they didn't need to have in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were still moments where I was like, okay, you could have cut that. We could have cut this shorter. We could have cut this shorter.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that the longer episodes, I don't feel like are really ever... we're given like amazing in the things that are great, they'll put in the episode.
Yeah.
So
you see, the problem is when you get stuck in these ruts, I've said this about Drag Race for a while, is they're basically stuck in a rut that would require some major painful cuts to get out of this rut, is they can't think outside the box. It's impossible as an organization to think outside the box, because actually the thing that you do is any stuff that you were on the fence about whether it should make the hour-long episode could go into Untucked. You could do a longer runway in Untucked. You use Untucked for like, oh, there was this moment. They used to do it in the really old ones. There was this moment on the show that we didn't make it to the show, but that was really interesting. That could go in Untucked. And then you can only show that. And then you could just leave, that leaves you not having to fill an entire half an hour of them just licking each other's ass the entire time. Use it sort of as a, here's what happened behind the scenes, but also here's stuff that didn't make it in the episode, but that was really good. And so...
I think that's a great idea. You should pitch that.
Yeah, but they can't... as an organization, they can't do that. Not allowed to. I think you have a lot of people who've been there a very long time, and they're very like, well, that's not how we do things. You know, like there's one guy who since the dawn of time has written all their stupid scripts, and that's his thing. He doesn't want to give it up.
Yeah.
That's sort of the poison that happens with these kinds of shows that have been around for 15 seasons, is they become a family. And sometimes you need to like fire everybody and bring in fresh blood to have new ideas. And they can't do it because they're all family, you know? And so,
yeah. Yeah.
Then they get stuck in this rut, and then the show... well, not only the show's going to get canceled, but then the show does not get better. It's, basically, I'm calling for term limits on Drag Race. All right, let's move on. After Irene's elimination, the queens bid farewell to Irene and get the tea on Amethyst and Robin's romantic relationship. The next day, RuPaul enters the workroom to announce this week's maxi challenge. It's an acting challenge titled The Queer After. In three teams, the queens will create infomercials depicting their version of the afterlife. Anitra and Amethyst are named team captains and each take a turn casting their commercials, leaving five girls as the leftovers. But what did you think of all this moving forward? Let's start with you, Nathan. What did you think?
I really liked how they divided the teams just on teams, because I thought that was a fun way to do it, where like one queen picks four and then the other, or five, and the other queen picks five, and then there's just the leftovers. I thought that was like a fun new dynamic instead of like going one by one.
And then you just don't have one person also. You don't have one person who feels like shit.
Yeah, yeah. And I loved that Amethyst, like, intentionally split up the twins. I thought that was good producing from Amethyst. And the thing with this whole segment, though, that was making me laugh was how they kept in every single thing that Princess Poppy said that was just indicating that she's next to go. Like, when she was like, fuck you, Irene, you were first out, sucked in. And then she was like, see ya, losers.
Yeah.
It's just like, babe, you are building yourself up for an epic fail.
Yeah. I think RuPaul at that moment was like, I'm kicking her off.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, that's going to come back to bite you.
Don't write the script for them. Lori, what about you? What were your big thoughts and everything that happened?
Yeah, I loved it because, like Nathan said, you don't have one person at the end that feels like shit. You have five people at the end that feel like shit. So it was great because it was like, it almost kind of became like a rallying cry. I just wish they would have used that as momentum. It started off with such great promise in the picking of the teams. I thought, oh, okay, here we go. The leftovers are going to be like, they're going to be the ones that come back and they do a great job. And it didn't turn out that way. So.
Since we're talking about the leftovers, let's talk about who they are. They're Jax, Sugar, Robin Fierce, Mistress Isabel Brooks, and Malaysia Baby Doll Fox were the leftovers. All right. Any other thoughts? Did we capture everything? Nathan, you have something to say?
Yeah. So what did you guys think of Lucy, like, after the elimination? She was like, I am so angry that I was in the bottom. I disagree. And I'm thinking, watch yourself back.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Yeah.
She was like, this is lighting a fire. And I'm like, you weren't misunderstood. You were shit. Let's, Lucy, let's.
Yeah, she has a really annoying voice. Did we talk about that too?
We can.
Star and I got in a little bit of an argument because Star is adamant that Lucy is a trans man. Adamant.
Okay.
And I was like, I looked online and I couldn't find anything. And I was like, no, he's just a more effeminate man. Like, that's fine. She's like, but his face is so smooth and so feminine. And I'm like, do you want to fuck Lucy? Like, what's going on?
Well, so. I don't think that was the face that he was born with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that could be true. But also, look, here's the deal. If there was a trans man, as we saw with Gottmik, they would be promoting that shit like nobody's business.
That's what I was saying.
Over and before the show, after the show, on the show.
And Lucy would be saying stuff. Lucy would be like, as a trans man.
Yes.
Like how they would start their sentence.
Yes. And the first mirror message would have been like them. So Lucy, did you ever get anything, any kind of flack for being a trans man?
Well, yes, I did actually.
So, yeah, we genuinely got into a fight because Star was adamant that this was the case. And I was like, no.
By the way, last week we were talking about, Nathan, you were saying, Robin Fierce and Amethyst dated.
Yeah.
And I was like, they did? And you were like, nobody said, because nobody watched Untucked, that they talked about it on Untucked.
Oh, yeah.
I did watch Untucked, but I didn't do a close watch.
Yeah.
Well, I also love how Robin was like, if you want to know what happened, ask Amethyst, because I'm not talking about it. And literally the next, like, they talk about it. And I'm like, oh, my God.
By the way, there was nothing to it. They were like,
yeah, it's not going to get them further in the competition.
Yeah. All right. And then the next day, we said, they walk in and Anitra's doing that duck walk. And they're like, you better walk this fucking duck. And I'm like,
it's going to happen every episode.
Yeah, it's the fetch of this year. Every year, there's a fetch.
Yeah.
And this is the fetch now. The fetch is the duck walk. Well, you know there was that controversy this week. I don't know if you saw this with Aja LaBeija coming out and saying that that wasn't a real duck walk. She was calling it a...
Noging.
A noging, thank you. That she wasn't voguing correctly and whatnot. And then everyone started fighting back. I'm like, oh, these bitches have nothing to fight about. Oh, how about the part when they were picking teams and... Lucy LaDuca is on whose team? Let me see. Lucy was...
Amethyst, because she said Lulu Duduku or whatever.
She said, and then Lucy was like, thank you. It's Lucy LaDuca. And like looking back at RuPaul. And I was like, okay, bitch, she knows your name. Okay.
Well, she's not going to remember it, but she knows
RuPaul,
for the moment.
Yeah. You know what? No. You could tattoo your name on RuPaul's eyeballs and she will not know your name.
She won't know you. I don't know how she'd see that if it was tattooed on her eyeballs, but And also what I love is that Amethyst goes, my great pal, Lulu Ledu.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of being introduced in stand-up of like, this lady's very funny. We're great friends. Lorraine Ridgenap.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, in the workroom, the teams get to work creating their infomercials. Team Anitra casts Sasha Colby as God. Team Amethyst imagines a Dolly Parton run heaven. And Team Leftovers finds out Jax has named herself the leader. Lori, let's start with you. Any thoughts on anything that happened in the workroom?
Oh, my God. I actually later on will agree with Mistress about this Jax moment where she moves, was it Sugar?
Mm-hmm.
She moves Sugar. I would have literally, when she was like, I'm going to move you over here, I'd have been like, do it, bitch.
Yeah, it was a really bad look for Jax this whole episode.
100%.
I would love to have a moment with Jax where I go, I want you to sit down and I want you to tell me exactly what you fucking wrote. Because she kept saying, I wrote the script. And it's like, what the fuck was the script?
I wouldn't even brag about that. I know.
No way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she kept saying, we're going to write everything down. It's like, what? What are you writing that? What's the thing? What is this about? Like, it was so stupid.
Well, it seems what happened, this is my guess. We can talk about this when we get to the filming thing. But it seems like what Jax was doing may have been, let's write what everyone's ideas are, and then you do your thing, you do your thing, you do your thing, you do your thing, while I'll do my thing. And I think that made it very confusing.
Yeah. Because that's not, you can't perform that way.
Yeah.
What I thought was so funny was when Jax was doing that at the table, and Mistress in confessional was like, fine, okay, Jax, I guess I'll step aside and you can be team leader. And I was thinking, when did Mistress get promoted as team leader in the first place?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very Joe Batan thing to do. That's probably the thing that's most like me and Mistress Isabel Brooks, is that they just assume they're the leader. You know, yeah, you know what's so funny is, you know, last week I said that I wish the twins would drown.
Yes.
And I think, like Mistress Isabel Brooks, is I've sort of come around, not that I liked it, not that I liked them. I have some negative things to say about them this week and some critiques to give, but I just don't wish they would drown now. They're just in the general, I'm indifferent to you category.
They're young. Yeah, they're young. And they're dumb.
Well, here's what I'll say.
Full of cum.
Is you can be a narcissist like Sugar is and just think everybody wants to hear her talk and talk and talk and talk, but also a good person. And so I think Sugar was being a little annoying, but I don't know why Jax was like, well, then I have to be the one who step in. Now I'm the leader.
Yeah. And because I actually think Sugar was being like a little bit funny. Like her ideas were funnier than the others. Like when she did the cracked out Beyonce bit, like I thought I could see that, you know, that was at least an idea. Whereas everyone else was just putting forward, I don't know what.
I was just saying no one was adding on, you know, I feel like one of the things that makes these collaborative writing sessions or sessions so good and it helps with filming is that people, you know, they won't necessarily say, no, that's a bad idea. They'll say, let's add on or let's focus. Or I will even say Mistress did a good job or she was like, hey, I like where your head's at. I love your enthusiasm, but we need to keep it geared toward being gay. You know, whether you disagree with that or not, I think that's a good thing that she was sort of like, she was more steering her in a right direction. But Jax was just like, no, we're not going to talk about anything. You're going to say what you're going to do and I'm going to write it down.
Well, I think Jax is right in that the other two groups had a natural born leader, not natural born, but a leader in place in that. Anitra and Amethyst were the people who picked the people. So they were seen as the leader. Whether or not they were the leader, there was a person to look to. Whereas Team Leftovers didn't. And look, I'm not saying that they should have thought of this. Who would think of this in the moment? But they probably should have chosen someone to be the leader, just voted on someone to at least be like the person who's like the Jax, what Jax was thinking he was doing. But it was just offensive that Jax decided he was the one who was going to do it without anybody asking and pushing Sugar aside, which, by the way, the one thing I'll say about the twins is, yes, they're annoying and yes, they talk a lot. But the one thing I'll give them is you can kind of tell that they've been used to being told to shut up. And then if you push back a little bit, then I don't think they're going to really fight you. I think they'll be, oh, okay, you're right. As long as you give them their turn. Like if you say, wait your turn, Sugar, you know, I think she'd be really cool. I actually do think they're good team players. The initial impression you would think is that they wouldn't be, but I actually think what we saw is that they are actually team players, but Jax didn't make her say, let's make this a team effort. She's shut her out completely.
Yeah.
She moved her, and which I thought was so degrading, and it was just so rude for no reason. I mean, she's just genuinely excited, and she wants to talk ideas, and instead of saying, I love your enthusiasm, and let's take it, you know, let's slow it down a little bit,
or
doing something productive, she goes, I'm going to move you over here because you're driving me insane.
Yes.
I would have been like, fuck you, I'm staying here. And if you want to move me, you're going to have to do it.
We will
stomp on your 4 foot five bitch ass frame. Yes.
We heard, and just between us girls. I want to say a couple of things. One, I want to give major props to Spice, believe it or not, for choosing that shirt that looked crazily like her real skin. Like it matched her. I was like, is she wearing just a no tatted shirt? Is she just all tatted up and this is her like body? Like, it looks so much like her real skin, it was distracting. And also, I want to come back to this thing that came up last week. Why do the twins think they're the only one, that they think they have this secret language that no one else has? You remember that part where, like, someone actually tells Spice, I can't remember, was it Lucy? Lucy goes to Spice and says, look, I don't think your sister's really having a really good time. And she goes, what? Oh, you're right, she's not. And then Sugar's face is like literally like droopy, like mouth agape. And she goes, my sister and I have this thing. We can tell when the other one's pissed off. I can tell. I'm like, really? Because the world can see that she's really pissed off.
Yeah.
That's twins, though. My mom, one time.
Well, that's right, your mom's a twin.
My mom and my aunt are identical twins. I'm a fraternal twin, but my mom and my aunt are identical twins. And my mom, one time, my dad and we're having dinner. And my dad answers the phone and goes, oh, okay, all right. And my mom's like in the bathroom or something. And my dad says, oh, Lori, when your mom gets out of the bathroom, let her know that Kathy is in the hospital because she had like appendicitis or something. Right. And so I go,
wait. We have, again, per usual, we have a lot to unpack. Your dad answers the phone. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. All right, thanks. Hey, Lori, I got to go do something. Tell your mom, who's in the same house as I am and in the bathroom, yes, that her sister's in the hospital with an appendicitis.
He had to leave. He had to go. I think he had to go somewhere.
But Lori,
and so
his sister-in-law, his wife's twin sister, is in the hospital.
Yeah. He had to leave. He had to go somewhere. She was fine. She was in the hospital.
And this relates to Sugar and Spice how?
No. So my dad says this, right? And the bathroom's not that far from the living room. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty close. Like, I can hear, when I'm in the bath, I can hear them talking. So my mom comes out and just goes, I have a weird feeling that something's wrong with Kathy.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, yeah, she has appendicitis. Did you hear? She goes, oh, that's
she
like,
could
okay.
feel the pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you heard it from the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You didn't have this feeling. You weren't like telepathically, you know. So yeah, they used to do that all the time.
Nathan, any other points?
Just on Sugar and Spice, I'm starting to think I'd like them a lot more if they were actually competing as a pair, like as one person, because they are doing the same looks. Like they're doing this like twin look where like it feels like kimono gate every time, because Sugar will walk out and then Spice will walk out and the same thing, but a little bit different. So if they were competing as one person, I think I'd enjoy that more.
Not a bad point.
I also would like it to see a little more competitive nature. I would love it if like Spice just threw Sugar under the bus a couple of times. Like, I think that would be great.
I don't think they will.
No.
No, they love each other too much. Well, on that note, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the episode.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right. Spring is here. And with spring comes more social events. Now, for a lot of people, that's very exciting because they've been sad because they've been so alone during the winter. This is super exciting. But for a lot of people, I'm somewhere in the middle, this can be very draining, okay? You have to go to a bunch of social events. And it for me, at least, it always seems like when it rains, it pours. So there'll be a weekend where I'm doing nothing. And then there's a weekend where I have to do 10 million things and be in 4 million places all at once. And it's very draining. Have to entertain people and talk to people and be on all the time. Completely drains your social battery. Believe it or not, therapy can give you, and this is what I've learned, some self-awareness about how to set boundaries, how to say yes to things, how to say no to things, and how to keep your mental health safe. I have personally learned how to do this through therapy. It's been very helpful for me. It's how I keep my sanity, even when it seems like there are too many things to go to. If you've been thinking of starting therapy, do me a favor. Give BetterHelp a try. It's totally online. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to park anywhere. You do it in the comfort of your own home. And it's designed, it's even created to be convenient, flexible, and totally suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back. By the way, there was some speculation on the Discord. What do you guys think of this? Because you know that commercial constantly comes up where it's from the show saying like that podcast with... Has anyone listened to that podcast with Alec Mappa? And who's the other person on it? Squirrel Friends podcast. Oh. It's like Alec Mappa and I can't remember who the other one is.
I know who it is. I like both of them. Yeah. But I just can't
think of the... comedian. The one who said... Remember? Anyway, she... That it says the only official RuPaul's Drag Race recap podcast. And they felt there were some people.
Lonnie Love.
Yeah. Ooh, she's very funny.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. Very, very funny.
But if I want to listen to someone with like no drag knowledge mouth, I'll listen to this program.
But do you think some people are speculating that's World of Wonder's way of differentiating their show from our show, that we're not an official Drag Race recap podcast?
Oh, you reckon?
Mm hmm. Well, I think it's official for me.
I don't think anyone's listening to this thinking we're the official one since we rag on the show so much.
You should change your name to the OG.
I should change Afterthought Media's name to World of Wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World of Wonder.
Yeah, and then do like the real gaze of, you know, the...
Of Palm Springs, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the infomercial recording. The three teams hit the set with director Michelle Visage to record their infomercials. Team Leftovers takes an improv approach. Sasha Colby from Team Anitra stumbles on her lines. And Team Amethyst fails to make Michelle laugh. Nathan, let's start with you about everything that happened in this recording. Any big thoughts there?
Not a big fan of Michelle being director again. I don't know why they keep pushing her on. Like, can we not get a guest or someone to help?
Yeah.
But no. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I laughed because Jax was saying that, like, oh, my group had a lot of big personalities, so we had to deal with that. But I think looking at the three groups, their group had, like, the least amount of personalities. What do you think on that?
I think it was a fat joke.
You reckon? You
know, actually, a big fat personalities, you know.
Yeah. We had big personalities because they both had Mistress and then Foxy on there.
Foxy.
So, yeah.
But based on...
Or whatever her name is.
What is her name?
Malaysia Baby Doll Fox.
Oh. So, the only personality we saw that was kind of big, because Malaysia and Mistress seemed to behave for the most part.
Yeah, they were reserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Jax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, before and after. Before, he's like, I'm gonna take over! And then afterwards, he was like, if anyone wants to know, I wrote this. You're like, I don't know that I'd be taking the credit for this.
I would not brag about it.
Lori, what were your thoughts here on this whole filming thing?
Horrible. I mean, why don't they do like a tie-in if they have an official podcast? Why don't they have Alec Mappa and Lonnie Love be the directors?
Oh,
and actually
you're right.
Try and give like good comedy like ideas. Also, what was it with Michelle Visage? Did she take a downer before she came? Did she mainline heroin?
It's like somebody told her sister was in the hospital with an appendicitis.
Yeah. Yeah, like, she was just, it was like her and the camera person were having a side conversation. Cause she would just be like, this isn't gonna start well. This is not going. It's like, can you enunciate?
Yeah, you know, you're on television.
And she had no, I love how at the end she goes, she tells Sasha Colby, oh, when I gave you direction, what direction? Do it over? Yeah. Like that was the direction. Like it was like,
do it over. You can do better than that.
Yeah. She's the worst. I mean, she's like a wet mop. Like even in filming or even doing filming, you need people there who are going to be like receptive and be like, okay, that was funny. Here's how we can do. She in no way did that. And so to me personally, look, the sketches were not that great, right? But they could have been better had they had a good director. And she basically like torpedoed any chance of those scenes doing any better than they could have been. I was so frustrated.
So that was, I think we kind of talked about Team Leftover. So like, yeah, so Jax said he was the leader, but then he's like, I don't know what's going on. Well, then you're not a very good leader, Jax, are you?
No, and improv while you're filming rarely ever plays.
No.
You need to improvise earlier to when you're writing it down so you can figure out what the game of the scene is, what's the funny part, what can I add, and then maybe when you're filming, you can, if you have a line or something that you want to say, you can go, okay, maybe I'll try saying this line, but you never improvise entire things the day of. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Which was the name of, by the way, Lori's improv group. Let's go to
where we filmed everything day of. So
Team Anitra, by the way. Marsha says, I love this. Remember, Michelle Visage is the director. Marsha, she was like, what are you guys doing? Marsha says to her, I don't want to give away too much. You're talking to the fucking director. I think the director needs to know what you're going to do. I don't want to give away too much. Well, I kind of need to know.
I thought that was so funny because, it was definitely like, she was like, it's a secret.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's not going to be for long.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, it's going to be awkward when it happens.
And that's the one with Sasha Colby, where Sasha Colby flubs the line and Michelle's like, do it again. You can do it better than that. And then it's like, they're trying to make it seem like Sasha Colby's sucking. And meanwhile, they're like, oh, she was amazing. She was great. You're like, once again, the lies.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing that frustrates me is that they will do that where they show somebody flubbing a line or messing up, and that's like a bad thing. It's like it happens. Mm-hmm. People flub their lines. They mess. They forget stuff. Everyone has nervous energy. That's the name of the game. But they were making it seem like, you know, Sasha Colby was like, you know, basically shitting on stage. And, of course, Michelle Visage was just like, all right, go again, but this time try to be better.
Yeah, Michelle was in the mood. Nathan, let's go to Team Amethyst. Nathan, did you have any thoughts on them? When Princess Poppy was like, I wrote this.
Oh, yeah, Princess Poppy was doing the most. And I feel like it really backfired on her throughout this episode. Yeah. But, you know, I hated Amethyst last week and in the Meet the Queens, but I didn't think she was that unfunny with the gagging on the guy's crotch / banana thing.
Oh, really? I thought it was very unfunny.
You know, I thought there was humor in just like pulling a face and not saying anything and barely pulling a face.
Lori, you were saying something. What were you saying, Lori?
So dirty comedy is hard because a lot of people, a lot of new comedians, a lot of people who are not very funny or don't understand comedy will go directly to a dirty acts or dirty comedy to get that like wow factor. And that's not a laugh. That's just like a, oh, look, I'm sucking a dick or I'm deep throating a banana. Dirty comedy sort of has to be earned, you know, it has to be, you have to work up to it. And I felt like they didn't earn it. They just did it in weird spots that were never really fully, the game wasn't fleshed out. There was never, it sort of was just like left to flounder. And so, I didn't think it was, I thought they did a poor job.
Also, the Amethyst thing made no sense. Like, I'll give you a good example of kind of what she was doing, kind of, that it's corny, but made sense. Like, there used to be a sitcom in the 70s that was pretty dirty for its time called Three's Company. And it was always the same fucking joke, right? It would be like Jack and Chrissy are putting up a shower curtain in the bathroom, right? And the doors close, and the landlord, Mr. Roper, would come over and he'd hear them. And, you know, maybe it was like the scene that we see is that it's hard to reach and they're going, and then, Jack would say, you know, talking about the shower curtain rod, like pull it. And she's like, it won't come out, you know, or something like that. And then Mr. Roper would make this stupid face going like, whoa, what am I hearing? You know? But at least there was a logic to the scene. They're putting up a shower curtain. Mr. Roper's mishearing. And there you go. This one, what is the logic here? She's kneeling in front of a pit crew guy and eating a banana? Why?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes no sense.
And also holding on to his thighs and pulling her like. What are we misreading?
Unless that's like a new thing where you suck a dick while you're also sucking on a banana.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make any sense. But I mean, the Three's Company never made sense. I don't understand why that landlord was so invested.
No, I'm not. Didn't make sense. But at least there was a logic to it.
Yeah.
You know, this one there's no logic. You're literally the pit crew guy is in front of you. You are holding the back of his thighs and shoving your face back and forth motion onto him, and then you're gagging on a banana. Why would any of this be happening? Nathan, go ahead.
Well, he was probably holding the banana, and I feel like I was on board with it already, because have you guys been to like a sex show in Amsterdam?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, yeah, I'm constantly there, yeah. Which one do you go to, Nathan?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but it had like an elephant out the front, like the pink elephant or something like that.
Oh, yeah, trunks.
Oh.
Trunks.
Yeah, trunks.
Well, I went and I got pulled up on stage. Like, I was on a Kentucky tour.
Well, that was where the elephant got embarrassed, Lori. When Nathan came out, the elephant was like, I'm out of a job later.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But long story short.
That's not what the elephant said.
Yeah. He curled his trunk. Yeah. He was like, he curled his trunk and he just like felt his trunk and he was like, I'll never match. I'll never match up to that. Yeah.
So a performer put a banana in her vagina and then we all had to take a bite. And so I was the last one to take a bite and then she like clamped her thighs on my head and like I was trapped in there. So I've had a banana out of a vagina. So I got it. You know? I didn't have that mental block.
By the way, Princess Poppy was like, I wrote all these jokes. I'm like, why are you... This was the worst of the three. This was the worst one. Why would you brag also, about this?
It's an acting... like, they're filming. It's an acting... They're acting. That's the challenge. It's not a writing challenge. Yeah. At the end, it doesn't go like, oh, here... We're going to make you safe because you wrote it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an acting challenge. Yeah.
They all overthought it. Like, it was Queer Afterlife. And then for The Leftovers, we're doing The Good Place where it's like heaven for a straight girl, hell for them. And it's like, just do hell. Just do hell.
Yeah.
Or like, just do heaven. And they're all like, oh, we need queer icons in heaven. And then they were naming all these celebrities that are still alive. And I'm like, do these queens think these people are dead? Like, do they think Beyonce's dead?
Well, that's because that's what they do. They're like, you know, like, so... Lucy was like, I don't care what happens. I gotta do Dolly. She even said that. She goes like, if I don't get to do my joke, I'm gonna be real pissed. Yeah. And you're like, and your joke with a okay Dolly Parton? Like, why would Dolly Parton be there?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, I agree with you, but the Dolly Parton was the best part of that whole bit.
Actually, you're right. I don't disagree.
Sad as it was, I feel like they should have added more Dolly Parton. I mean, it makes no sense, but it was like, that's the best part.
All right. Did we cover this whole rehearsal filming thing?
Yeah, the rehearsals went for 2 seconds, and we've talked about it for a lot longer.
Yeah. All right, it's Elimination Day, and the queens get ready for the runway. Sugar wants everyone to cut loose and have fun. Jack scripted her group herself, and Malaysia Baby Doll Fox and Mistress Isabel Brooks share their religious trauma. Well, there's no one better to go first when talking about religious trauma than one Lorian K. Roggenkamp. Lorian, any thoughts on this Elimination Day?
I feel like I kind of liked how the Foxy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how she sort of, you know, opened up and talked about her, you know, religious experience and how she identified and then still struggled, mm-hmm. because I still think that's definitely an issue with the gay community, especially with, you know, men, especially with black men, is, you know, there's very religious families, mm-hmm. and they have, you know, that is an issue. So yeah, I thought it was great that she opened up about it. I didn't really see anything wrong with it. I like this part where the queens get to open up with each other and they share parts of their lives, mm-hmm. and their experiences. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I liked it.
All right, Nathan.
I didn't like it. It went too long. And this mm-hmm. Jax, I find, is so annoying because she says like, oh, since this challenge was based around religion, does anyone identify as religious? And then she didn't even listen to Mistress and Baby Doll have that big conversation. She was on the other side of the room.
Is that shocking anyone?
She just got fed the line. She said it and then she checked out.
Yeah. I like that Sugar faked out the cameraman and the director, in that the cameraman was filming Sugar and Spice have a conversation about what happened, and Sugar started to go into like she's gonna start crying, and she didn't cry. She went like,
yeah.
Anyway, did anyone see the newest episode of? And you're like. And I'm like, oh, because then you see the camera zoom in on her because the camera sees that she was
cameraman got a hard on.
They told me I'm not funny, and I was like, anyone know where the lip liner is? And you're like, oh, that was a big nothing. And it goes zoom. You feel the zoom go in, and then she's like, anyway, what are you gonna wear? And I was like, oh, she
that was great.
They actually used it in the promo though. They were smart. I go, well, at least we're gonna make it look like she's crying.
That was great. Yeah. I like that.
She didn't cry. Like, those girls have emotions. All right. Any other thoughts on Elimination Day? All right, we're going to actually do things a little backwards. They did the looks first, and then they did the videos. But let's do the videos first, the queer after. And let's go through them one by one. The first ones that they did were Team Anitra is the first group that they did. That's the one where it was Sasha Colby and she keeps breaking her neck. What were your thoughts on that, Lori?
This one was the most coherent and had the most logic, and it was still very confusing. Mm-hmm. Sasha Colby played God,
yeah,
right? Who's up in heaven, who's doing a promotion, but she has to kill herself every single time she wants to cut to another scene,
yeah,
and break her own neck. So she has to kill. So she's God, mm-hmm, Almighty, but she has to die, yeah, to move to, like, it made no sense. And then at the end, you find out that it's not heaven, it's Palm Springs. That's just the whole bit, is that, oh, well, we just move all the queens to Palm Springs. And then it said Palm Springs where queens go to die. So they're not dead yet. So it's really just like a Palm Springs is like the purgatory. And then heaven is something else.
I think
else.
The joke is, there's a double joke, because Palm Springs is where old gays go to retire. It's a very gay city, but it's also very old. Nathan, you know, there's a lot of, like, sort of, I feel like, hype about Palm Springs. Is that a place you would like to visit when you came out here, Nathan?
I'd love to, actually. Like,
why is that? I'm curious.
Just because I've heard so much about it, about how fun it is. Like, mm-hmm, drag brunches, pools, desert, mm-hmm, weather. Great fun. Well, I liked the button about Palm Springs. I thought that was, like, at least some sort of narrative sense in a way. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just loved how Sasha was holding that giant fishbowl of, like, wine, that glass, mm-hmm, that giant glass of wine. Like, that's just like a comical prop. Whereas, yeah, I don't think, yeah, any of the queens had anything funny. And did you notice, like, Lux was in this scene? I thought she faded into the background completely, but she ended up being in the top for her little therapist scene.
Well, yeah, yeah, I know.
I didn't get that.
Unfortunately, you know, we have these short episodes, which is fine. There's just no narrative arc for her in this episode, but she probably did well, you know?
I thought it was funny, that callback about Marsha wearing, like, just enough makeup. That was funny about it, but I forgot she was in the scene. And then when she was in the, yeah, top, I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, this is the only video of the three that had a narrative structure, had a story. They basically took, like, a Christmas Carol, right? And they just did it, but, like, gay afterlife. The neck bit, RuPaul was, like, dying, but they did, like, this it was weird. It's like they did this crunch thing, and then all of a sudden it was and then I was like, it's not that funny. And then she'd break her neck again and be like, and
and in the next two videos, there was nary a titter. Like,
oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. But, you know, I actually think, I feel like I've seen that either on Drag Race before or some sort of, like, viral video. By the way, we still got a week, look over there, and multiple times. I was like, oh, not with this fucking bit again.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. They recycled a lot of, like, yeah, old, like, they said, look over there. And they, I mean, honestly, this was the best one. And yeah, I feel like if you put this in another, if you put this in, like, season 8, this would have been the worst one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right. Next, we have Team Amethyst. I'll be honest with you, I'm not trying to be shady. The first one I understood, I could follow. I really couldn't follow the other two. They didn't make any sense. Nathan, let's start with you. Team Amethyst, the one with the gagging on the banana.
Yeah, so the one thing I liked was that Lucy didn't sing as Dolly, so that's, mm-hmm, a saving grace. And that's about it.
Yeah. Dolly Parton should have narrated this. She should have been the narrator. Like how Sasha Colby was the narrator. She should have been the one. She should have been,
yes,
introducing everyone. Well,
was Lucy the narrator at the beginning? There was some sort of weird voice.
No. It was just, I don't know who it was, but it wasn't. It wasn't Dolly Parton.
They dipped in and out of narrative structure.
I almost wonder, hear me out.
Yeah.
Hear me out. I wouldn't be surprised, I'll say, is if it was Dolly Parton, but Lucy's impression relies on the visual And when you don't have the visual, you just hear like a really annoying high-pitched voice. So like, mm-hmm. if it was mm-hmm. like,
that could be it.
Hi, everybody, it's me. And you're like, ooh, is that Carol Channing or what's going on?
Well, I guess Carol Channing. I guess this one is just doing her own thing right here.
And you're like, okay, well,
hello,
whatever.
Hello, nice man. Yeah. Hello, nice man. This is Carol Channing.
Hello. And I just said, you know what, Rue? Up here in heaven, when I do my thing, the guys just come over here and bite off my clit.
So I feel like the bit of this one was that, like, all these things that you like to do, like getting pampered, getting a facial, were all sexual innuendos. So, like, you got a facial and it was just a man, you know,
spraying douche water on you. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
That wasn't either of the terms that facial can be.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, as a lesbian, mm-hmm. so maybe I'm not a gay man. I think I've made that clear.
What?
And I mean, do you guys feel like if your heaven would be going to a place where you're just constantly being like
getting a hot load in the face?
Yeah.
And then finally, Team Leftovers. Your thoughts here, Lori, on Team Leftovers.
Okay. So this one is, we're going to have to unpack. So this one is, so the drag queens mm-hmm. are doing an infomercial. Yeah. For basic, essentially basic bitches, basic mm-hmm. queen, drag queen fan bitches,
yeah.
to go to their heaven, which is a drag queen purgatory,
yeah.
where they are constantly having to interact with these basic bitches. But they want you to come. They want you to call them.
Yes.
But they are in purgatory and they're doing things that they hate and they're being punished for it. But they want these basic bitches to come.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're making an ad to go to something that I think they even described it as their hell. Like, they're in hell, but it would be your heaven. You should come to this, even though in theory, because we hate interacting with you, mm-hmm. we don't want you there.
But the thing that's so frustrating is, like, so they had this thing, I think they called it Dragatory or something.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It was purgatory, right? Mm-hmm. So purgatory is not hell. Purgatory is, and maybe I'm nitpicking, mm-hmm. but purgatory is essentially the middle space, the very, like, it's a nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just the middle level, before you go to hell, right? Mm-hmm. It's decide if you go to heaven or hell.
Yeah.
So in purgatory, you're not necessarily doing things that you hate. You're not being tortured. It's just not anything good. It's nothing. So, they could have had jokes where it's like, here in Dragatory, everyone's safe every episode mm-hmm. or something.
Oh, that's
where
good.
It's like, you're not losing or you're not, you know. So there's jokes on the table that they could have had if they had done it where it's like, this is Dragatory. Mm-hmm. But instead, it was like this onion where it was like, it's not Dragatory. It's Dragatory, but it's kind of like drag queen hell, but it's really basic bitch heaven. And it was just like, why?
Lori was talking too much. I broke my neck.
Yeah.
What about you, Nathan?
I agree with Lori. It was too meta. They were trying mm-hmm. too much. And I just kept thinking, why do all of these people have jobs in the afterlife?
Mm-hmm.
What's the economy of the afterlife? Why?
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that once again, Sugar did that glitch face, the one eye open. If you're a hot, attractive person, to you, being funny and silly, it's closing one eye and that's funny. That was going to be her Beyonce. Yeah. And she did it.
They're hoodwinking all the gays. I was on Twitter and I saw so many people be like, oh, Sugar ate. And I was like, ate what?
Also, they go like, they had I think it was either Malaysia or Mrs. Baby Doll, one of the fat ones, was like, you got to lip sync for your life. And then Jax and somebody else did not lip sync. They just danced.
Yeah. They just danced.
They just danced.
And then they were like, you have to do it over and over again. And it was like, yeah, maybe because they haven't lip synced yet. Maybe that's why. Maybe they need to do that.
The one thing I will say, and this shows how everything was like, you do this scene, you do this scene, you do this scene, but there was no cohesion. That last bit was pretty good, where they go to the that was the best bit of the thing, where they go to the meet and greet, and they were all Baby Doll Fox was Silky Nutmeg Ganache, and Mistress Isabel Brooks was Eureka. Somebody was Shangela, and then somebody was whoever says, look over there, Jada Essence Hall. And that was kind of funny. And they were like, all right, bye. We hate you, but we asked you to come here.
Yeah.
That was okay.
But then they were like, and then call us. Like, why?
You literally just showed that you hate us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go over into the looks. We're going to briefly talk about the looks. Nathan, I have to personally apologize to you. Last week I was joking. Lori just broke her own neck. Last week I have to apologize. Last week I was joking when I said, you said, oh, we're not going to talk about the looks, or you talked about the looks, and I said something along the lines of like you stay in your lane. Christian doesn't come here and talk about the show or something. And I felt, even when I listened back, I'm all, oh, that sounded really serious and cunty, but I was being funny.
No, that's fine. But in preparation, I did not write notes on the looks for this one.
That's fine. You didn't have to, but were any looks that you remember that you wanted to talk about? Or?
I thought Sasha's was good. I really enjoyed that. And I just loved how Mistress had this big chain for no reason.
Yeah.
Just so funny. Stupid. I like that. So that's what I liked. Yeah.
Lori?
Yeah, why did you wear that chain, Joe? That was weird.
Wait, why is Detox here? I don't know why Detox showed up. Okay, Lori, go ahead.
I like the looks. I thought they were all, you know, creative and fun. The one thing I didn't understand was
time.
The way Poppy was walking. Did she have to walk that way because of her dress, or was she walking that way just because that's how she walks? Like, it just seemed like she was kind of drunk.
Poppy either got a really bad edit, or she just is an idiot and is unlikable as a person.
Both can be true.
Like, why was she always flipping people off?
That's her thing. That she's popping the middle finger. So I got to tell you something here. I actually think Sugar and Spice looked really good on the runway. However, and maybe this is a longer conversation for Bring It to the Runway with Robert and Christian, where Christian will actually fight me on this. The entirety of RuPaul's Drag Race is not the looks. Anybody can buy the looks, you know, especially these queens. They have the money to pay for a designer to do it and whatnot. And also, and they do sick makeup, but that's not the entire show, but they did look fantastic.
Well, on Sugar and Spice, like, yeah, they look amazing, but they're just doing Brat style looks every week. So yes. Like, we've already, runway number one, Marsha got a talking to, other girls got a talking to about padding. And I just think, how long are they going to get away with just being a doll?
I don't know.
Well, they look great because they look great. I mean, they're attractive.
That's the thing.
So they're going to look great in drag.
That's very true. That is very, very true.
I mean, it's like, what was the queen from season 7, I think, Valentina? I mean, she was great because she looked great and she had flawless outfits. So I think it's like,
Well, that was the thing too with, what's her name? The Australian one from season 6.
Courtney
Act. That was the thing. She didn't have to put on a lot of makeup. She just naturally looked beautiful. And just did a touch of this and that, and that was it. And she had great looks, but that's not the whole show. And I think I want to see how they are when they're individually having to perform. All right. By the way, I forgot to mention this. The category this week on the looks was Metallica. Let's moving on. On the main stage, RuPaul named Sasha Colby the winner of the challenge and places Princess Poppy and Amethyst in the bottom two, forcing them to face off in a lip sync battle for their lives. The song Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Diana Ross. In the end, Amethyst wins the lip sync. And Princess Poppy is told to sashay away, leaving 14 queens in the competition. Ladies, any final thoughts on the episode? Let's start with our special guest, Lori. Lori, did you have any thoughts on the lip sync, on anything? Have any notes been given that you haven't given yet?
Yeah, the one thing, I loved how Jax was saying, oh, you know, I had written all this stuff. And RuPaul was like, I don't remember you saying a line. What lines were yours? Just totally calling her out. She's like, well, a lot of my stuff got shelved because girls kept improvising. Yeah.
Well, then she should improvise.
She's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I also loved how Poppy was like going into the crowd and like, look at all these girls. It's like, yeah, they're here. Like, what? I don't understand. Like, you can go into the crowd and do, and I mean, I don't know if RuPaul hates that, but it's like, do it, but have a fun bit with it. Don't just be like, I can't believe I'm here with the girls that I've been doing a show with this entire week.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was so weird in that moment how they were like, oh, you can do that for any other song, but this is Diana Ross. And I just thought it was weird to justify that. Like, because I thought Poppy was a more enjoyable lip sync to watch and I would have saved her over Amethyst. But they're all like, oh, but it was Diana Ross.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't agree with the Diana Ross part, but I am sick of drag queens pointing to their vagina. Just sick of it. I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's fun. I don't like it. You know? And I'm not laughing. Lori, what do you think?
I I can't point to my vagina because the camera doesn't go up this high or go down that low.
No, I was right.
I'll zoom out that wide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a wide vagina, Lori?
That's a good question.
I do. I have a wide, yeah.
Is that a common thing? Because I've heard of that.
Right knee, and it ends near my my left titty.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I think, I don't know. I'm a big girl, so I feel like I have a big everything. Mm-hmm. I have a big vagina. I have a big,
I don't know.
You know,
I don't know much about vaginas, but I didn't realize that was linked.
Well, if you're talking like this is going to show you how much I know. If you're talking like the hole, no, it's not very wide. But if you're talking like the actual, like, you know, fupa and everything, that's it. That's big.
What's a fupa?
Yeah, it's like the upper part that drapes over the vagina.
I think I went to high school with her.
Yeah.
Fupa? I don't even know her.
Fat upper pussy area is what it stands for.
Oh, so it's not an actual term.
No.
Okay.
One thing I also thought was funny was that when they gave her when they gave Amethyst critiques about her nose, and then RuPaul says, "I'm a nose queen," and meanwhile her nose is
a little button
contoured to next Sunday. So I was like, and they're trying to tell her to accentuate. Although I do think that Amethyst does have a great nose. I wish I had her nose. I wish I had my nose. I feel like is a weird nose. So, yeah. Anyways, that's it. That's all.
Yeah,
my
I thoughts. Identify as a big nose gal too. But if like when Michelle was like, "I love your nose," I love your nose, and Amethyst was like, "You guys don't have to keep like gassing up my nose." She doesn't believe in the compliments about a nose, and I sort of agree with her there. Like, you don't have to do that.
Well, there's like a level of compliments that are kind of, I feel like, are a little not necessarily backhanded because they're not saying a diss, but they just feel like almost, I don't want to say woke, but just socially they feel like they need to be said. You know, I feel like it's sometimes when the,
it's like, I love your like, giant beak nose. It's like, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when people say like, oh, you look beautiful, your face is so beautiful, I'm so proud of you for, and it's like, okay, I'm just, you know, let me just live my life.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week. Oh, by the way, Lori, do you have any plugs?
Bloody Podcast, at Lori You Liar on Instagram. And I have a podcast coming out soon called Case Sensitive with two friends of mine. So keep
Where'd
an
you
eye
find
out for
two
that.
Friends?
I'll be posting that on. Well, but I had to task grab it. I had to. I have to pay them $25 an hour. It's getting pricey. So,
all right. Well, anyway, be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15. So, for Lori and Kay Roggenkamp, Nathan Brown, and myself,
sashay away until next week.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. or email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen and Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has two other podcasts. The first is Breaking Down Bad Books, and the other is Bravo Bravo Effing Bravo. You can find those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find Nathan on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters: Alex S. Anonymous. April Pacheco. Astute Girl. Brad Coley. Carter McKinnon. Karina Williamson. Deckhead. Devin McKay. Doofus Maximus. E. Smith. Elizabeth Timmer. Emma. Humble Pie. J. Thomas Plank. Jesse Harris. Lauren Eckert. Lucy Carrasco. Luke Stamen. Mike Yeager. Nicholas Springham. Nikki Baker. Poppy Woods. Ricardo Herrera. Robert NYC. Sarah Yu. Tom Bombs. Travi Cosmos. Troy Anderson. Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.